3600. The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
Rolling along on this Friday afternoon, Darren and Justin here with you, Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. Let's bring in someone you'll hear on the call tonight. 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch over at Hawkins Field. It'll be Andrew Allegretta and our guest, Kevin Ingram. K.I., what's up?
Oh, not a lot. Got the yard mode, getting ready to go to the ballpark. So, yeah, doing good on this Friday.
Yeah, it's a little warm outside, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a little warm. It wasn't too bad, though.
Okay. You shirtless or shirt?
It's a dry heat, you know.
Tank top, shirt, or shirtless?
Oh, yeah, tank top for sure. I mean, you know, sun's out, guns out.
Yeah, and I know I've seen you. You definitely always look copper tone tan, and, you know, so, yeah, awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got a lift in before I went and mowed.
By the way, a week ago, I didn't know this until I saw it later. We were at the same place last Friday night.
Oh, yeah, at the Dave Show. That's right.
Yeah, that happened.
I didn't realize you guys were there. Same thing for me. I didn't realize you guys were there.
Well, ours happened literally right after the show. So, I mean, it happened between 4 and 4:30. It was like, oh, we're going to Dave Matthews tonight. So, yeah, my kid's first concert.
How did he like it?
We weren't sure. We're like, yeah, you know, this could be a huge gamble that, you know, it's probably not going to pay off. He actually really liked it. The whole point of the conversation that night was, Maddox, you've got to understand, Dave Matthews Band is your answer. You have to try to remember as much as you can tonight. You're going to get asked this question the rest of your adult life, okay? When you become an adult, you'll get asked this question the rest of your life. The first concert you ever attended. Your answer is going to be Dave Matthews Band. All I ask is that you try to soak up as much as you can tonight and try to take it with you in the memory banks when you tell the story someday.
Wow.
He'll probably remember it more than some of the people that were there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. I do.
Man.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask the question of you two. I mean, what was the first concert for you guys?
Oh, man. I really wish you wouldn't have gone there.
Mine's
so uncool. I mean, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that out loud. I'll just say this. My first, man, why am I going to answer this, Kevin? Golly,
I've
seen a lot of cool. I've been to a lot of shows in my life, hundreds.
Okay, I'm going to qualify this by saying I've been to a lot of great shows.
I've seen a lot of great shows, and this show was fine. But I was 15. I was dropped off. I went by myself. I can't remember why I went. It was my dad's favorite band. I have no clue. My guess is maybe he bought a ticket. He couldn't go. And so he sent me by myself to Rupp Arena in Lexington to see Bobby Sue, Little Oak Ridge Boys. That was my first ever concert.
The Oak Ridge Boys. There's nothing wrong with the Oak Ridge Boys.
I know they're cool, but I mean, just, you know, I would have loved to just rip out Metallica or Guns N' Roses or something.
Oh, what, man?
Bon Jovi. Back in that time,
yeah,
not Bon Jovi today. No, Bon Jovi back then.
Wow, there's a loaded statement there.
Well, I've seen him back then and here now, and it's like no.
Well,
today's,
you know,
like a lounge act.
It's tough now. I mean, for me, and you know, this may sound in a different way, but now that I think about it, there's really nothing wrong with it. Kirk Franklin, the gospel star, is who I went and saw. And I'm trying to remember where. I can't remember if it was Bridgestone or Municipal, honestly. I'm scratching my head, but it was one of them. I'm almost positive it was Bridgestone. But yeah, that was my first concert.
You want to hear concert number two? And I can say this proudly because of where we are. My second concert was Amy Grant.
Ah.
Huh.
Now that's kind of cool.
Yeah, this is like early 80s for me. So yeah. Oak Ridge Boys, Amy Grant.
Hmm.
Probably not what you guys expected.
Not at all.
So, I mean, are you guys going to ask the question of me?
Yeah, we're that's where we're going. So what is it? You're going to top us, aren't you? You're going to blow us away?
Go say Prince or somebody.
Yeah, right.
1979.
Oh.
Freedom Hall.
Freedom Hall.
About 8 Oak Ridge Boys.
No way. You're so full of it. I don't believe you.
No, I'm 100% serious. It was Kenny Rogers.
Stop it.
The Oak Ridge Boys.
Stop it.
Wow.
You're messing with us. You're messing with me.
But see, the difference is Kenny Rogers was the headliner, right?
Yeah, Kenny Rogers was the headliner. But yeah, I mean, I love the Oak Ridge Boys.
There's nothing wrong with the Oak Ridge Boys.
I know. I should have said it. I regret
nothing wrong with the Oak Ridge Boys.
I just wanted to say something. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen a lot. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've all seen, like, every concert under the sun. But, yeah, it was cool back then. I mean, that was the first show I'd ever been to. The first rock show I went to was actually at the Murphy Center in 1986. I saw John Mellencamp. And then in 88, when I was starting my senior year of high school, I saw Aerosmith and Guns N' Roses at Starwood.
Nice.
That was the biggest crowd I ever saw at Starwood.
Man. That is serious.
And I don't know why or how my parents let me go to that because I like rode with three of my buddies from high school down here from Bowling Green, you know, an hour away. And I mean, we didn't do it. We went down there and we saw the show and we went back home. I mean, we were well behaved, but man, that was some show.
I would say the craziest and like people stepping over people in the lawn, like the craziest crowd I ever saw at Starwood was Lenny Kravitz.
No, really?
That was like probably 24 years ago.
Yeah. Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny Kravitz was pretty big.
Prime
at that time.
Lenny Kravitz will bring it out of some people.
It was packed.
Yeah.
Packed. Okay. Well, Kevin, I just learned something. We have an answer that's the same. That's unbelievable. I did not know that all these years.
Although there is a distinction, though.
He's got Kenny Rogers.
He's got Kenny Rogers. You're standalone Oak Ridge
Boy. I'm standalone, yeah.
And, you know, and he's got Kenny Rogers along with him.
Yeah,
so
that's true. It's a good point. What do you think about this region? By the way, Xavier and Oregon doing battle right now. What do you think about the pod that's been sent here to Nashville?
I mean, I think any group of teams you get is going to be difficult for Vanderbilt. I mean, I felt like it was, you know, as good a draw as any. I mean, you know you're going to play some tough teams. You know, the key thing in these regionals is you have to get off to a good start and win the first game. It's so important for Vanderbilt. And everybody will look at this matchup and say, oh, Vanderbilt should win easily against Eastern Illinois. Well, let's just go back a year to Corvallis, Oregon, and Vanderbilt played San Diego in the first game. And San Diego had a pitcher who was lights out and shut us down and lost, I think it was 3-2. And you know, set you back for the rest of the regional. You spend the rest of the weekend chasing that game. So no matter who you play, it's just important to get off to a good start and win that first game. But yeah, these are good teams. I mean, they're all conference tournament champions. Eastern Illinois won the OVC and Oregon State. Oregon won the Pac-12 and Xavier won the A-10. So these are all good squads. You get to this point, you're going to be playing somebody good. And you know, for the most part, everybody's going to have like one good Friday night hammer that they can throw out there, and we'll see how it goes tonight. But yeah, it'll be a challenging weekend for sure to try to get through.
I'm sure you remember years ago the amazing pitching duel between Austin Peay and Vanderbilt in that first game. What, Vandy went like 2-1 over Austin Peay in that regional game?
I'd have to go back and look and see who it was.
I'm drawing blanks.
That, for sure.
That pitcher went to the majors for Austin Peay, and I'm drawing. If I heard it, I would know it. But he went on to pitch in the bigs.
Yeah, you see that all the time. I mean, like I say, pretty much any team from any league is going to have at least one good starter that they can put out there. They can shut down pretty much anybody. You know, it's playing these teams on a Friday night in a regional isn't like playing them on a Tuesday night where you don't see the best pitchers typically. You're kind of seeing a combination of guys out of the bullpen or whoever they want to put out there. It's a whole different deal when you play, you know, a team from, you know, that you maybe not don't see very often or you know, from a smaller conference or whatever you want to say. So, yeah, it's going to be challenging no matter who you see these teams match up with.
Sean Kelly, that's it. It was Sean Kelly. Adam was giving me a list of – it's Sean Kelly pitching, I'm pretty sure. R.J. Austin, can he keep this thing going? I mean, he was pretty spectacular in Hoover.
Yeah, he really was. He was terrific. And, he's had an outstanding freshman year. But you've also seen the ups and downs of being a freshman and playing in the SEC. I mean, you're going to have some stretches where things don't go especially well. And one thing that this team has done is really, really well throughout the season, but really consistent fielding. And RJ has been a big part of that, playing second base. And you know a guy's a good player if Tim Corbin puts you out there from the start of the season to play all the way through every game your freshman year. And he started out, they switched guys around a little bit with Austin at second and Fastine is short and Diaz in third. They switched those positions up a little bit after the first stretch of the season, but RJ has been really good. He was awesome in the SEC tournament. He was the MVP, obviously. He had seven hits, including a home run, a couple doubles, and drove in five runs. And yeah, when that guy's going good, man, it makes a big difference. But excellent in the field, too. You know, he had a couple stumbles in that series, that first game against Arkansas, but then he shook it off and has been terrific since then. So, yeah, he's been really, really good for this team.
The question, Kevin, I've got is their bats woke up. They were quiet for a while when they were losing some games, and, you know, the bats had cooled off. The bats woke up. I don't know if they got a bucket of chicken or what they did. You know, they didn't drink Jobu's rum. I'm not sure, but the bats woke up in Hoover. That's the question I've got. They're at home. Can they keep the bats hot? Because I think that's a big key to them getting out of this regional unscathed.
Yeah, I think it is too. And you look at the first half of SEC play, Vanderbilt in conference play was leading in almost every offensive yep. category, from average, you know, OPS, on-base slugging, home run, you know, all of it, pretty much every category, Vanderbilt was at the top. And then you got into the back half of the SEC, and I think a whole lot of it was the competition just got harder. They played a lot of really good teams every weekend. You know, you're seeing somebody in the top 10 every week. You know, it was Florida, it was Alabama, it was, you know, before that it was Tennessee, South Carolina, and then finished up, you know, against Arkansas. Not necessarily in that order, but that was kind of a combination of teams that we saw. And the pitching was really good, and, you know, you're just going to get shut down here and there, especially go on the road. But then the SEC tournament, it felt like things just really got clicking for this team. And, I mean, they won the game against Arkansas. Florida, you know, got the grand slam, you know, and from Rypel and won that second game. But then, you know, when you're kind of win or go home in that situation on Friday, Vanderbilt got rolling against Alabama. Florida helped them out with a couple miscues in the first inning. And all of a sudden, you're ahead by four or five runs, and you're off and rolling. And then the game against A&M, same thing. Just, you know, got timely hits and got the job done. You know, this isn't an offense that's going to blow you off the field with a ton of home runs. That's not really what they do. You know, RJ Schreck's about the only one with double figure home runs on this team. But when this team's going well, it's stringing hits together. It's, you know, getting base runners, and you double a couple runs in, and you just kind of keep the line moving. And they've gotten a lift from Troy Leneve, who's hit three run homers in the last week and a half that have been gigantic for this group. So, you know, like I say, it's not a team that's going to outslug anybody, but it's a team that, if you know, just be patient and get on base and just keep it moving, that's how this offense operates best.
Kevin, what is the expectations for this team? And I know it's almost unfair to even ask because of how successful the program has been, but are they to the point now where if they don't win the whole thing or get close to winning the whole thing, it's sort of a disappointment?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. You know, you go back a couple of years, Vanderbilt made it to Omaha in 2021, and then before that in 2019 won the championship in five times since 2011. But, yeah, I think for the fan base and, you know, people, if you're around the program, I'm sure if you're coaches and players, it's like, man, it's not that easy to get to Omaha. I mean, it takes, you know, a ton of hard work and, you know, a lot of just good play and good fortune at times. But, yeah, I think – you know, when you get to this level and you're the kind of program that Vanderbilt's been, where you're the winningest program in college baseball since 2010, that if you don't make a deep run in the tournament, it does feel like it's a bit of a letdown. And, you know, last year went out to Corvallis, Oregon, and played against Oregon State. And I will always feel like if Vanderbilt could have won one more game, that had a great chance to making a return trip to Omaha. Just came up a win short against Oregon State in that regional last year. But, you know, the expectations are always there. But, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, it means you have a good program if people mm-hmm. expect you to make deep runs every year. And I think for this team in particular, I think playing at home is really big. You know, a lot of times home field advantage, momentum is as good as the pitchers that you put out there. But I think for this particular Vanderbilt team, the way it's constructed, the way the offense works, it feels like it really fits well for Hawkins Field. And I think playing at home and being in familiar surroundings will really help.
Speaking of playing at home and familiar surroundings, a big announcement from Vanderbilt earlier this week about the expansion and mm-hmm. upgrades there at Hawkins Field. And, you know, to be honest, Kevin, it caught me a little bit off guard. I did not know they were thinking about pouring as much as they are over into the baseball facility.
Yeah, that was really cool. Gosh, the renderings look fantastic.
They do.
I wish you could snap our fingers and have it all done, you know, for tonight's game. But, you know, it's a ways down the road from looking like that. But, you know, I heard Tim Corbin talking about it a little bit yesterday, that a lot of that, you know, the thought process had been in place for a couple of years about how they wanted to do it. And I thought one thing interesting that he said was, is, you know, you got a lot of ballparks around the country that they are all in some ways kind of similar, that what he wanted to see was something that was different, that was, it was unique, like, say, you know, Skirmerhorn Center. You go in there and it has all the decks and everything, and he just wanted something that was different and unique to Vanderbilt and to Hawkins Field. And gosh, the renderings they put out there are fantastic. The seats up above the monster, I thought they should do that for years, whether you did a big renovation or you just put up some tailgate tents up there and let some people hang out. I thought that would be a really cool place to watch a game. But yeah, they're going to be a building in the right field corner that, you know, can be used for lots of different things. And then just the way it's going to be sort of a 360 walkway all the way around the stadium, where you don't necessarily have to go outside to go to different parts of the park. So I think it's really going to be cool when it's all done. And again, it's a ways away from happening, but when everything's done with all the Vandy United program in a few years, it's going to really be special. And if you haven't been over to campus lately, it's a new look to the football stadium.
Yeah, they kind of took the top end, off the stadium
the
for a little while.
Gone,
yeah,
the north end zone's gone, so yeah. It looks a whole lot different.
Yeah, they've got a live camera up that we watch all the time over there to see all the work being done. Last but not least for me, Kevin, I wanted to ask about your response for Tyron Lawrence being able to come back on the basketball side here. I know that there was some thought that, you know, he might go to the NBA or might choose a different path, but ultimately he decided to come back to West End.
Yeah, that was fantastic news, Justin. I was really happy to hear that yesterday. And I guess I'd always sort of left the porch light on and hoped that he was going to come back and, you know, make that decision to return for another season in the black and gold. And, yeah, that's really good for our team. Gosh, he had the breakthrough season last year for sure. Averaged, I think, 13 points and 5 rebounds, and just really good at driving, getting to the basket, hitting threes, and playing good defense. So, yeah, you know, he tested the waters, kind of see where he stood, I guess, you know, in terms of the NBA, and, yeah, and maybe looked around and talked to a couple other colleges, but decided that Vanderbilt was the best fit for him. And he and Jerry Stackhouse have had a really good relationship, almost like a father-son type relationship over the past few years. And I think that was just great news for the program, that you get another core piece for your team coming back. You think about it, you got a really good recruiting class coming in. They've added a couple of transfers, and then you got a pretty good core of guys coming back from last year. Now you're talking basically three starters with Ezra Magnon and Colin Smith and now Tyron Lawrence back. So that's really good. But that was big news, and that was I think made a lot of folks who follow that program really happy yesterday.
No doubt about it. Oregon leads Xavier 5-4 in the bottom of the eighth. Kevin, appreciate the visit. Enjoy the game tonight, and certainly we'll be listening.
All right. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys and get ready to play baseball.
I was trying to think of something clever about Elvira or Bobby Sue, but I got nothing.
Get hype.
See, I was
going to
go
Oak Ridge
one
Boys.
In a million. That was always
my favorite. Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice pull. Nice pull.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I love it. I learned something new. I'm excited about
there
that.
There you go.
I can share that story forever. Kevin, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
All right, see you guys. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Kevin Ingram, he'll be on the call tonight with Andrew Allegretta. Tonight, 6:45, Vandy pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch.